Great. Well, please do keep that Bible passage open in front of you. Let's pray as we look at it together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful words of Jesus. And I want to pray this morning that we might feel and see the promises that he is making to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our question today is, what inner life are Christians meant to experience? If you are here and a Christian, then I think if we're honest, we're often quite hazy, aren't we, about what inner life we are meant to feel and experience as Christians. And I think we often have this sense of, well, we wonder, there's a nagging voice which says to us, are we missing out on something? Do we have the full experience we are meant to experience? If you're here as a Christian, then a non-Christian, and listening in, well, a big welcome to you. This is an important question for you as well, isn't it, to think about? What should you expect to experience if you became a Christian? What should you expect to feel on the inside? Well, it's our question today as we look at that reading which came to us from John chapter 14. If you've been with us, you'll know we're working through John chapter 13 to 17. And what you need to know is that these chapters are set the night before Jesus is going to die on the cross. Looming large on his mind is that he is going to, the next day, give his life as a sacrifice to save other people. Yet, instead of wallowing in self-pity or getting grumpy or snappy with others, he turns to comfort and to assure his disciples. I mean, it should have been the other way around, shouldn't it? It should have been them consoling him, but he is consoling them. And so it is in these chapters, 13 to 17, that we see the heart of Christ being unfolded like nowhere else in the Bible. Here we learn of Christ's incredible love for us. Here we see what he desires for us beyond all other things. And what he wants his disciples to get is that true life is found in relationship with God. True life is found by knowing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's what God is like in the Bible. He's like a family of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And true life, says Jesus, what I want you to know more than anything else is to enjoy their love and their presence. Last time we looked at knowing the Father, we saw that our big point was this, that Christ returns to the Father in heaven so that we might know the Father. And this morning we're looking at the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. And today we're going to see that Christ wants his disciples to see that he's returning to the Father in heaven so that the Holy Spirit can come and live inside them. And so our big point is this. The Holy Spirit living inside us connects us to Christ in heaven and makes him real in us even though we are here on earth. He connects us on earth with Christ in heaven. And we're going to see that that works in three ways as we go through this passage. That the Holy Spirit makes Christ real to us in three ways. Number one, the Spirit furthers Christ's work. We saw last time, at the end of our passage last time, how Christ calls on us to pray. And he teaches us to ask for things in his name. But in verse 15 to 17, he tells us what he will ask for on our behalf. Have a look again at verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The great prayer of Christ then is that he asks for this gift of the Holy Spirit. He calls the Holy Spirit here another helper, and the Spirit of truth. Now, if you want to know, is this definitely talking about the Holy Spirit? Well, just glance over to verse 26. There he says, the helper, the Holy Spirit. So it's very clear he's talking about the Holy Spirit. But why Jesus calls him what he does in verse 16 and 17 is massively important. It shows us that when the Spirit comes, he will come in the place of Christ. The Spirit comes to take forward, to advance, to expand, to extend, to further what Christ himself was doing whilst on earth. So first he calls him another helper. Now that word helper, why does he choose that word? Well, it's not talking about a kind of junior. I know often when we have someone who's kind of too young to be a leader, we call them a helper, don't we? Well, that's not the idea here. The original word is a very strong word. It was normally used in court cases. So a helper was an advocate or a legal counsellor, someone who speaks on your behalf. And more generally, it meant someone who comes alongside you, who stands by you, who gives you strength. That is the force of the word here. I mean, some Bible translations have the word comforter. But I think that can sound a little bit like someone who gives flowers and chocolates to make you feel better. Other translations have counselor. But that can sound a little bit like a therapist, I think. So we will stick with the word helper, knowing that it's a strong word. It's about someone who comes and gives you strength and acts on your behalf and with you. And so in these chapters, we will see how the Holy Spirit gives us power to speak about Christ, how he convicts the world of sin and guilt, how he strengthens and makes Christ's followers bold. The Holy Spirit is our helper. But there's another word, isn't there? Christ calls him another helper. He's another helper because the first helper is Jesus Christ. He's another helper because he comes and helps us as Christ helped us. I mean, it makes sense of everything going on here, isn't it? You know, Jesus has been with his disciples for these years. He has been their helper, but he's about to leave them. And so he promises to send another helper. And so it says to us that, well, the Holy Spirit will do what Christ was doing. The Spirit will further the work of Christ. And you also see that in the other name he's given. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Back in chapter 14, verse 6, the Holy Spirit was called, Jesus was called himself, I am the truth. And now Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. You see, it's in the Spirit's very nature to be to us what Christ was to us. That word spirit, I know it can sometimes throw us, can't it? It can make us think of, well, I guess the spirit of a person is like their very essence is of who the person is and what they were about. We might say something like, the spirit of Martin Luther King lives on, or something like that. Or we can think of the spirit, well, we can think of Star Wars, can't we? And the force in Star Wars, a kind of impersonal force field. May the force be with you and all that. But this spirit, God's spirit, is a person. He is another helper. The Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. I mean, Jesus calls him a he, doesn't he? Verse 17, he dwells with you. This is the Holy Spirit. It takes no less than a person to further Christ's person. It takes no less than a divine person to further a divine person. That's why the Holy Spirit is able to come and take the place of Christ. So this then is the first thing we need to see, that the Holy Spirit furthers Christ's work. Now, getting this helps us to sort through some of the ideas we may have heard about around the Holy Spirit. You may have heard of people kind of linking the Holy Spirit with, I don't know, miracles or spiritual experiences. And some of them might sound even a bit wacky. I don't know what you've heard of. But what we learn from Christ is that the Holy Spirit is just not into doing things that don't further what Christ was into. The work the Holy Spirit does is in line with what Christ was doing whilst he was here on earth. So if, for example, you hear of the Holy Spirit doing miracles, then the question to ask is, does what is being described sound like spiritual magic shows, or does it sound like miracles that are being used to further Christ's work of giving people new life? Can you see? What the Holy Spirit does must be in line with what Christ was doing when he was here on earth. And for this reason, a lot of people have described the Holy Spirit as the shy member of the Trinity. He doesn't want to draw attention to himself. He wants to draw our attention to Christ. And we see that again and again as we go through this passage. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, when you see a cathedral or a castle at night and all the floodlights kind of light up the building. The floodlights are there to draw our attention to the magnificent building. We're not to be fascinated by the floodlights. So it is with the Holy Spirit. He is like God's floodlight, showing off Christ and furthering his work. I mean, all this is also why Jesus is saying these things after verse 12. Remember last time we looked at verse 12? Jesus promises that his followers will do greater works than what he did. Those greater works are not more spectacular miracles, like turning water into the wine or feeding the crowds with one packed lunch. No, what he's talking about there is converts. It's people getting new life. And there were far more converts in the book of Acts than there were in the Gospels. You see, the disciples will do greater works because Jesus has asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit to live in us. Jesus is making this great prayer on our behalf so that we can have the Holy Spirit and have the power to do the greater works that he promised. So then the Holy Spirit comes and does the same work as what Jesus was doing. He extends it, he expands it, he furthers Jesus' work. What is different is his location. He does it from inside us. At the end of verse 17, Jesus says, "You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." What Jesus is saying there, I think, is you know him because he's been on me. The Holy Spirit's been working through me. That's what you've been seeing day after day. But now a time is coming when he won't just be on me. He will be inside you. And he will do what I do from in you. It's that great difference then which means that, well, we can do greater works than Jesus. Jesus as a human was limited to one location, but now the Holy Spirit is in all believers across the globe and he's working through all of us at the same time. Through us, he is doing greater works. So here then is the first reason that the Spirit living in us is an incredible promise. I wonder, have we grasped it? I think we think of Christ walking around on earth and the incredible power that he wielded, power to give new life to others. And we kind of, well, just imagine for a moment we could put that new power, that power in each of us. Well, that is what Jesus is promising here. I mean, last week we thought about the revival of 100 years ago. And it began with Christians like you and me praying. They prayed because they knew that the Holy Spirit lived inside them, and therefore they knew what God could do through them. But I think so often, don't we have low expectations. It's why our prayer meetings are often so much smaller than our Sunday services. It's because we don't believe that God's Spirit is in us, and he wants to further Christ's work through us. It's why we don't step out in faith to serve in that way or this way, because, well, we don't have confidence that he's in us. Christ says, "I will give you another helper, and he will live inside you forever." So that's our first point then, that the Spirit furthers Christ's work. But secondly, the Spirit makes Christ present. See, it's not just that the Spirit takes the place of a Christ who's left us. No, he comes and he makes Jesus present with us. Have a look at verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I mean, it's an incredible promise, isn't it? His going might seem like he's going to abandon them, but he's not going to abandon them. He's going to come to them. I mean, coming to them, first of all, I think it's talking about his resurrection, but then he's going to come to them by the Holy Spirit living inside them. What will happen? Well, have a look at the end of verse 20. I am in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, last time we saw how the Father and the Son, they live inside each other. But that's how close and united they are. And now we are going to join them in that circle of love. We will live inside Christ and he will live inside us. In the words of verse 21, Jesus will manifest himself to us. He will make himself known to us by coming and living inside us. Verse 23, have a look at that verse. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Here's what we've been seeing, isn't it? The disciples will not be orphans because the risen Jesus will come and live inside them. And because the Father lives in Jesus and Jesus lives inside the Father, when Jesus comes and lives in us, so the Father too will live in us. I love that word, home, in verse 23. It's saying that God the Father and God the Son have decided to come and make us their home. They're not just going to come and stay for the weekend. It's a permanent thing. They've decided to settle down. And where have they decided to settle down? In us. Amazing, isn't it? Before we get to live in the Father's house of heaven, chapter 14, verse 2, he will come and make us his home. As Jesus says in verse 23, it's such a powerful thing that it's how we can know, it's one way we can know that the Father loves us. But how is all this possible? How is it that the Father and the Son come and make their home in us? Well, it's because the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus present in us. Now, we saw this idea when we actually looked at Ephesians. Remember that back in the summer, in lockdown one, all those many months ago? And there we had an illustration of YouTube. And it's worked much better if you're watching in online. But I am present here in Christchurch in this building. But by the power of YouTube, I'm present in your lounge right now. And so it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Christ is not physically with us. He's up in heaven, as it were. But by the Holy Spirit, by his power, Christ is present in us. Not physically present, but truly present in our hearts. And so here's the second reason that the Holy Spirit's coming is an incredible promise. Christ lives in us by the Holy Spirit. And it means that if we're a Christian then, that we can say that we are never alone. What a promise this is if you have been particularly struggling during lockdown with isolation. This promise is saying that however lonely and isolated you feel, that if you know Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is in you and he is making Jesus real in your hearts. But I think this is much more than just a nice woolly thought to keep us going. Jesus here, he especially ties this promise with walking closely with him and putting his teaching into practice. I think one thing that means is that we will most experience the presence of Jesus in us. It will be most real to us when we are most closely walking with him. When it is most difficult to trust his teaching, when it's most difficult to put his teaching into practice, when it's most difficult to stand up under trials, then I think it is we will most experience his presence in us. That's the context here, isn't it? Jesus is about to leave his disciples. He's saying to them, it's going to be a hostile world you're going to live in. But if you stick with me, you stick with my teaching, you follow me and walk closely with me, then you will know my presence in you, because the Holy Spirit will live in you. It's only been my experience. When do I most experience the Holy Spirit in us? When do I most experience Christ's presence in me? When life is toughest, yet I choose to stick with Christ. I draw close to him in prayer. Do you not experience that? If not, well, why not stop praying about other things this week and just make one prayer request every day this week? Pray for more presence of Christ in you. The Holy Spirit will love to answer that prayer, I tell you. So first thing, the Spirit furthers Christ's work. Second thing, the Spirit makes Christ present. And lastly, the Spirit teaches Christ's words. Our key verses here are verse 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance, or bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I mean, that's the final promise here, isn't it? About the coming of the Spirit to live in us. He promises that the Holy Spirit will teach and remind. Now, some people have taken this promise to be that the Spirit speaks directly to them about things going on in their life. Or he teaches them new truths that never been revealed before to believers before them. But we must understand this promise in context. Jesus is speaking to the 11 disciples. They've been struggling to understand what Jesus has been saying to them. He's about to leave them, but he needs them to be his official teachers. So he promises to them, the Holy Spirit will come to you and he will remind you and teach you what I have been saying. The all things in verse 26 can't be talking literally about all things. It's not that at Pentecost, Peter becomes an expert in astrophysics or something like that. No, it must be talking about Christ and his mission. It's what the disciples are not getting. They don't get why Jesus must return through his death, through his resurrection up into heaven. They don't get that. They don't get what it will mean for them. And so Christ promises the Holy Spirit to teach them. And so the application to us is that, well, we can see here why we can trust the New Testament, why we can trust the Bible in front of us, because it was written down by people who had the Holy Spirit in them. When we read it, we read the words of Jesus. The Holy Spirit guarantees that to us. But there's a second application, isn't there? That the same Holy Spirit who lived in them lives in us. And he wants to teach us and remind us of what he taught and reminded the first disciples. So as we read the Bible, so the Holy Spirit as it is at work in us as well. When we need to remember key promises of the Bible, the Holy Spirit reminds us of those promises. Don't you find that? That the Holy Spirit often just pops into your mind the words you need for the moment? This is what the Spirit does. It's what the Spirit wants to do in us. It's what he loves to do. And so as we talk about the inner life we are meant to experience by the Holy Spirit living in us, it's not mysticism. It's not a kind of inner, private experience, an airy-fairy floating around thing. It's anchored to the words of Christ. As I read about Jesus in the Bible, as I understand him, as I remember his promises, so then the Holy Spirit is at work, making him real to me. The internal life which I'm meant to experience is rooted in the external words of the Bible, the words of Jesus we find there. It's as I get to know him in the pages of the Bible, so the life of the Holy Spirit becomes more real in me. I mean, sometimes you do hear of Christians talking about how one church is more a spirit church and another church is more a word church. You know, one is into the Holy Spirit, the other is into the Holy Bible. But what we're seeing here is that that's a very wonky way of thinking. The Holy Spirit wants to make Christ's words known to us. He wants to teach us and remind us. Word and Spirit go together. In fact, the words of Christ in the Bible is what the Holy Spirit uses to do his work as another helper. Verse 26, Jesus calls him the helper again, doesn't it? And verse 27 to 31, it shows us how the Holy Spirit will strengthen us as he reminds us of Jesus' words. In those verses, he promises peace, not fear, joy, not sadness, belief and not unbelief. Life in this world will be difficult for the disciples. It will be difficult for us. It will be troubling, dark and upsetting. But in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit reminds us of Jesus and his words. So then, what does it mean for the Holy Spirit to live in us? Why is it such a wonderful promise? Well, he furthers Christ's work, he makes Christ present, and he teaches Christ's words. This then is the promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. It's an incredible promise, isn't it? Because the Spirit makes Christ real to us and inside of us. And let me say, has Christ not been working by the Holy Spirit, even as we've been looking at these words this morning, to reassure us of Jesus and all that he is for us? Amen.